One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And we are here to talk about breaking news from a long time ago, or breaking news from Buena Vista and Riverside, an intersection right now full of people out there striking, braving the heat, cars honking. It's pretty wild out there. And we are going to be talking about the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strike that has not only kept going for WGA, but has begun for SAG. We're going to talk about that, how it affects us, some comments from Bob Iger. We're going to go into it all here on Four Center and do it in an honest fashion. But before we get to all that, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have a Four Center recommends something we think you could maybe try out on us while you're not watching shows and all those good things. We'll get to that here in a bit. We also, Joseph, do have an ask, and I guess we'll say an update on something that has been in that ask for a bit.
That is right. We are still promoting, letting people know about our Patreon. So many people have joined us for what was... maybe it still is for me. Maybe it still is for some people. The Summer of Indiana Jones, we had so much fun doing the Indiana Jones and the Perilous podcast, building up to Dial of Destiny. Those episodes were exclusive to Patreon. They're available to everybody publicly now, but it was a big push for Patreon and a ton of people joined us. They've joined our community on Discord, and we really, really appreciate that. So if you're interested in checking out what the Patreon might have to offer for you, you can go to patreon.com/forcecenter. Now, another thing we've been doing with Patreon is building toward goals, financial goals. If we get to this amount of money a month, we're going to be able to have the elbow room to do cool things. And one of those cool things that we unlocked is a new YouTube series, Jedi Beat, the YouTube edition, which was going to be premiering today. However, life. And at this point, I want to hand it over to Jennifer, who's been working on Jedi Beat, to explain a little bit what's going on from her unique perspective.
Yes. So as some of you all may know, there is a strike happening with the WGA and now SAG-AFTRA. And I am a member of SAG-AFTRA. And so I've actually reached out to my representative to get a little bit more clarity. But as it stands right now, I am not allowed to promote a struck company, which means I can't promote Disney, Star Wars, Lucasfilm, Marvel, none of that stuff. So that has put a pause on my Jedi Beat, because guess what? I'm talking about Star Wars and I mentioned Disney Plus. And even though, I'm talking about 1975, and 76 and 77, I just want to be a little bit extra cautious and not get, blackballed by my union.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about all those details later. What is crisp and crystal clear and what is hard to figure out and what it means for Force Center. We're definitely going to be diving into all of that, but this is a brand new show that you're starting, and you are directly a member for SAG-AFTRA, and definitely need just more clarity on this from your reps, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm so excited. It's finally done. It's ready to go. But once I find out the official word, then we can release it or wait.
Wonderful.
Wonderful indeed. So in the meantime, you can continue to support us, like Joseph said, at patreon.com/forcecenter. We're excited to get that Jedi Beat out to you. And like Joseph said, we're also going to go into more details of how this directly affects us, our involvement and thoughts, but all the details coming soon here. We do want to talk about life or Star Wars adventures. All of this is part of our lives as people out here in the entertainment industry, but other things happened. I was on a train. Joseph was on a plane. Jen, if you could have been on a boat, we've just completed all modes of transportation. So life, adventures, Jen, where did life take you?
It took me to Western Costume in North Hollywood. I was really excited. That was going to be where I was going to do my what's called stand-ups to introduce my Jedi Beat and end my Jedi Beat episode. I had grand visions and I get – oh, so the reason why Western Costume is special is because Star Wars actually used 5 spacesuits from Western Costume. So I think one of them was from Lost in Space, the TV show. Another one was from a 1950 film, Destination Moon. So I thought this would be a good backdrop for me, right?
Yeah.
I went. It is an office building. Like, there's no Western Costume sign. It's just like an office building in the valley. And I just was like, and there was a security guard walking around. And I'm like, do I want to do this right now? So I had to find a different location. But yeah, that was kind of funny. I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting a Western Costume sign. Which
a placard, maybe.
Yeah, something. I could have stood by the shipping and receiving. I actually thought about it. I'm like, is this too ridiculous. Nobody's going to understand why I'm standing by shipping and receiving. So I scrapped that idea. But that was my week last week. That was my Star Wars adventure.
That's really funny. But I mean, it celebrates the true spirit of the valley of like an important thing happened here. It's just a gray building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. And like George Lucas, I had visions of what I wanted it to be, and it just did not pan out. I have to do a special edition of it.
I can't even remember the details to share, but I was watching some documentary recently, as I often do, and they went to like a location like this, and it was like an Office Max, but in the parking lot they had a placard, so I was like, at least that, like, here stood that thing. So
yeah,
but staples staplers are on sale. I know you had a big weekend, so whatever you want to share of it, we'll get to that. I had a simple direct weekend, surviving the heat here in the valley, finally hitting triple digits. But I took a train. I took a train home. I had to go handle some family business on Saturday, and it involved a different vehicle that I now own versus my 2002 beat up Rebel Alliance of a Mustang is slowly being headed taken out to the pasture. I've ridden trains before, but it was such a wonderful experience to sit there early in the morning, leave for Burbank, head up to San Luis Obispo. I read Star Wars Inquisitor, Rise of the Red Blade. I got into that book. Really enjoy. I think Delilah S. Dawson is one of our best Star Wars writers out there on the publishing side. And this is only adding to her legend in my mind. It's been fun to read that. Wrote a song, edited a video, had a snack. It was so relaxing. It was peaceful. It was, as we often say, Qui-Gon-like. I just felt I was in tune with things. Star Wars didn't find me in a weird way, other than getting a chance to read that book. It was just a good chance to relax. Then come back to some of the storms of the real world, both in some places, a place where I work has a storm brewing, just this town, the business, the industry has a storm brewing. So reminded me to find peace and enjoy it and be present for that peace when you can and when you experience it. It's not always easy, but a snack on a train will help you find some peace.
I love this story. I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I think it's true for a lot of people when you've been locked down in your office or living room or kind of just tied to your computer or whatever. That little bit of letting go of control of just being on a moving vehicle that you can't get off of unless you're Indiana Jones without shattering every bone in your body. It gives you this sort of Qui-Gon at the laser gate, just like you can flow more because a lot of the different things, the inputs aren't there. And you're just, I'm here in this moment. I can't be anywhere else. So my mind will drift away and it finds all these things.
It was, and even I, as a plane traveler, I love traveling on planes. I find myself just listening to music, sleeping or zoning out. Maybe I watch a movie on the back of a chair, but I'll watch, if I fly with Grace, she'll pull out her laptop and do some work. Mark Ellis will pull out some laptop and do some work. And I'm like, I've tried and I can't. There's something like to what you're saying, Joseph, and I think it applies to the plane, but when you're on the ground and you're just staring out at the hills you're normally driving by, it just adds to this, like, what can I do? And I got a lot done. So anyways, yes, love what you said there about that. But you, sir, were on a plane. And I want to shout out our Four Center listeners who last week we did an episode. And in the episode, Joseph and I had so much fun talking, diving deep. But Joseph had to catch a plane. And the episode ended. And people were tweeting, did Joseph catch his plane?
Oh, my gosh.
I did push it a little bit, but thankfully the Lyft driver showed up and it was a great Lyft driver. And I squeaked in time at the airport to have a martini at the Barney's Beanery in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the first time I'd been in a Barney's Beanery, I'm ashamed to say. Anyway, I had a great experience going back home to Minneapolis to visit. I had a similar experience to you on the train, which is, I think, why I'm kind of obsessing on it, is I've been working so hard on this short film. I stayed up for 24 hours at one point earlier this week trying to get it to where it needed to be so I could go visit Minneapolis. And when I got on the plane, it was just like, oh, I'm not tied to a computer. Don't need to send any emails. And I just had my notebook and ideas were just flowing. It was great. But the reason for my visit to Minneapolis is I almost always travel for shows. And there's a convention I always do in Minneapolis. And I made the hard choice to skip it this year, partially to work on the short film, but partially because I just can never kind of sink in and do things with family and friends. It's always like just a quick drive-by while I'm doing the shows. So I really wanted to make a point this summer to just visit, mainly to see my father, because my father and I have this kind of long list of we should do that someday things. And I got to see some other friends, nowhere near as many as I wanted, but it was mostly just a trip back home to see my father. And in terms of a Star Wars adventure, the whole weekend was a little bit the spirit of your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough. But it was more experiences, memories, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it wasn't a lightsaber, a lot of fun things. It was like I looked at back at my photos and it was like almost like a parody of like a happy father son montage. We went biking by a lake, and I helped him fix his 1950 panel truck, and he let me drive it for a few blocks.
Did you start throwing soapy like water at each other while you're watching the car? Was it just amazing?
Pretty close to that. And he taught me to play the drums, as I've mentioned many times. So we played the drums together a little bit because he's been working hard to get his chops back, and I'm a little bit rusty. So we playing the drums and did some conversation about that. And there's some family history that I've never asked him about, so I was able to just really interview him about some family history. So it was a really great moving trip, you know, as well as being back in Minneapolis in the summer, which is just gorgeous in the summer. So it was a wonderful time. The only real concrete Star Wars adventure is I stopped in an antique store that had the original Prune Face action figure for $100, and I almost bought it.
Whoa!
Oh yeah, almost on principle, you almost got it. Oh wow,
that's cheap for Prune Face.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Prune Face bargain basement. So anyway, probably more thoughts from that visit will bubble out at some point. But that was my life in Star Wars adventure.
Yeah, you know, I saw you post those pictures. Number one, it's always cool to see a rock in the drums, but you could. That's one of those trips that's going to last your lifetime. And I'm glad you got to experience that. So, glad you got to catch the plane after a podcast.
What exactly.
23 thing to say, but yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that was life, but now for some more real life. We're going to some Star Wars news. And as we said up top, we are talking about what I'm calling a dual strike because it sounds just a little bit more powerful than strikes. But yes, as most of you know, as Jen mentioned up top, this past week, Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA, which has television and radio and all those kind of things. And I always forget what it stands for. But SAG joined the WGA in a strike against the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. If you want to choose a name that sounds even more villainous, that's the one. Productions have stopped. Promotions and appearances have stopped. And the strike seems to be going and set to go here for a while. We will see about that. But no one truly knows, and we can hope for the best and hope for a quick solution. But we want to dive into this and dive into it as honest as we can, as a Force Center team, as individuals, as people in this town, as fans of this stuff, as three people that have friends on the lines, on those sidewalks. All those things are going on. So we're going to dive into this, our thoughts on the strike as it stands now. We want to be open and honest, like I said, about what it represents for us and for the podcast going forward. And some of that we'll say right now, we don't have all the answers. We're gathering our thoughts and we're trying to gather clarity, as you said that word before, Joseph, here today. I think it's appropriate. So, Jen, I actually think, you know, let's start with you. You, as I said up top, are a SAG member. I am SAG eligible. Joseph, I don't know your status, but I know you also have been shooting films and working with SAG through those films. So
yes, I'm SAG friendly and got SAG contracts. Yeah.
Yes. So we are all affiliated in some way or another. But Jen, you've been a longtime SAG member. So thoughts on this strike? Let's dive into this. Let's see where we go with this.
Yeah, I remember when I first got my SAG card and how much it meant and how important it was, because they did offer a lot of protections as an actor, because actors are taken advantage of so often, and you'll be working incredibly long hours and not get compensated for your work, or the whole thing with residuals. You know, they're using your likeness, and especially now with social media. I mean, I'll have a friend who I was seeing his face on Twitter so much. And if that had been airing on television, he would have been, you know, getting some money from that. But because it's on social media, it's just like a buyout, and they're just running it like crazy. And at some point, we have to draw a line in the sand, especially now with AI. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but it just is horrible that the studios wanted to scan background performers, pay them for one day, and then the company would own that scan, their likeness, for the rest of eternity, and use it on any project they want with no consent and no compensation, which to me is insane. Like, that takes the idea of stock photo, which I have done, you know, where they go and they take my picture and then anybody can use that photo and they paid me, you know, a couple thousand bucks and I'm still seeing my face on dentist ads that I never was compensated for. But that's like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like the idea of scanning and AI. And so that's what we're fighting for. And I think this doesn't really affect, I mean, yeah, I guess it affects Brad Pitt and Meryl Streep, obviously they're, but it really affects like the middle and lower tier actors, because like we need to make a certain amount of money, $26,470 a year to qualify for health insurance. And one of the ways that you can qualify for health insurance is through your residuals. And if the studios are not giving you what you deserve, that's why you have so many actors who are working on hit shows who still don't have health insurance. So it's a really important strike, but I am concerned because if it's not resolved by Christmas, the next year, we're all like fans, everybody's going to be feeling it because there won't be any new TV shows or films, which means that some people might cancel their subscriptions to streaming platforms, which means that studios and production companies will lose their revenue, which means that when we're able to go back to work, they won't be able to produce as much content. And the last thing I'll say is that Hollywood is a big business for us domestically and internationally. We export a lot of films globally. So for this business to come to a halt, it is going to have devastating consequences, not just to the actors and the writers, but to the crew who also have now, you know, they've lost their work. And there's going to be a lot of people who just leave the industry and can't come back, specifically probably like people of color who don't come from, you know, we don't come from generational wealth and we, or anybody that doesn't come from generational wealth and can't sustain a year long strike. Right. So yeah, pretty important, but also concerning.
Yeah, no, well said and honest as always, Jen. And yeah, it's, yeah, it's, you know, I had a conversation this weekend. I won't say it was with my dad, but it might have been, where I just can't support these millionaires asking for more money. It is, that's not why even the millionaires are on strike. And you try to relate it personally. I think the biggest, one of the biggest problems we humans have is if it doesn't affect you directly or you can't connect to it directly, you just have an easier time distancing yourself from it all. I think that applies to big social issues and everything. It's just kind of the way of it, but it's also the truth. And it's like, you know, looking at what my partner does, Grace, who's been a long time, decades long member of SAG and who gets, you know, you need to audition to get on the work. That's not always your choice. You can certainly submit, but if you have agents and managers and a team, as she does, you get called in. And that is a 2 to sometimes 7 day or longer process where you're putting hours of work into something that is, you know, you hopefully get you, it's an odd job audition, a job interview, so to speak. And but you're not compensated for that and you can't work on other things where you're doing that or you got to concentrate. And to folks like, and I'll just say like my dad, it sounds like a sob story, but it's like, in the meantime, we're not surviving. Right. And it's about that. And this isn't, and we talked about it before, and this is something that I think I've changed over the years on this issue. It's like, this isn't just fancy dancy artists wanting to get more money to get richer. This is a labor problem that has only gotten worse from America's Gilded Age on to now. And the wealth gap growing and the myth of, you know, just work hard and you too can be a billionaire is just, like I said, it's a myth to me. And this is part of that problem. And that's why I think it's a very important fight, though frustrating and some confusing gray area we're going to discuss. There's some realities to it. I always want to make sure, you know, groups don't become the powers they're trying to fight and da da da. That's a George Lucas prequel era thought, but, you know, that's a personal take for me, but it's not just Tom Cruise and it is It's crazy. The what some of the stuff that's going on. So that's an opening statement for me. But Joseph, bring you in here on your overall thoughts. And a lot of this stuff we talked about when WJ went on strike, but it is important to revisit this as it kicks up in higher gear.
Yeah, I really agree with what both of you are saying. I had some great talks with people in Minneapolis, some, you know, friends who are very well-versed. At least one of my friends, I would call him a historian in union labor issues. And he was really interested in some of the specifics that are specific to this strike, these strikes with the WGA and SAG-AFTRA, but very knowledgeable about how they connect to the entire history of these kinds of battles. Google what Luddite actually means and the actual history there. It's a fascinating time to be looking at things like that and in the entire history of that. And I definitely did talk to some people who are leaning a little bit more to being in line with your not dad or your dad, whoever might have said that stuff about Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. Yeah. I think that is what that image is what, frankly, the producers are going to lean on of like, what? Who are these people are hands out? And it's sort of like, well, it's both sides. Everyone in Hollywood is greedy and it's just a bunch of rich people trying to get more rich from everybody else. Why should we care? And I think your example, Ken, with your partner, Grace, is perfect because I want it to be true that if you work really, really hard, you can get by. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on is people, writers, and I know this personally from trying to do it myself, from knowing people who are succeeding or half succeeding at doing it. Same thing with actors. The things that are being fought in these strikes are people are working as hard as they possibly can. They are putting up unfair money up front to try to get their foot in the door. And a system is being created where their good, hard, frankly, traditional values, American work hard, it can't be rewarded. They're being set up in a trap. And that's what's being fought, not Brad Pitt and Bob Iger fighting over $5 between one another, neither of whom needs it. You know, it just so what's not going on? So I think for me, the big picture of this is that we talked about this with the WGA, but it's now become even more important with SAG. There are some specifics that are, you know, weird or muddy that are so specific to the industry of storytelling and entertainment. But if you step back, it's so familiar. It's the boss battle of our time. I think everyone in almost every profession is dealing with things like this, where smaller and smaller groups of people are trying to amass all of the money, all of the power and control, and they are squeezing maybe other rich people a little bit. But for the most part, they're squeezing the middle class and their lower class, and they're making it sure that people can't achieve the middle class dream. That's what's happening. This is a labor issue. Yep. And then on the AI side of it, there is an ongoing desire to automate more and more of our existence and say, how can we get the pesky humans out of this? There's the financial gain of that, but there's also just the dehumanization of it. And we've talked endlessly about, you know, did we like Tarkin? Were we okay with a CGI Indiana Jones at the beginning of Dial of Destiny? The various iterations of Luke Skywalker and that fine balance of like, yeah, anything automated, digital can be a tool, but it has to remain a tool of creativity, not something that pushes humans out entirely, robs us of financial reward and robs us of our humanity. And I go back to our train, plane, floating mind scan because so much of our lives are caught up in, I am trying to do this flowing organic thing, but there's a rigid, automated system in my way. We joked about when we were in London, Ken, I tried to order a martini. I could see at the bar that they had gin and vermouth. The poor server wanted to get me a martini. We could easily communicate as humans. Like, it's Put those two bottles together in a slightly chilled glass. Human communication, easy. In this poor, stressed out woman with an iPad who had to enter the order that way, just sighed and said, I don't have a button for that. And all the AI stuff is, it's real technical and it's about money, but for me, it is also about the spirit of it, of when it becomes more than a tool, but it becomes a block, a total block to human connection. Mm-hmm. That's frightening as well. And I think that's what's at stake is the financial realities of what they're trying to do, like just pay people for one day and scan them and reuse them. But it's also what we're making is art. What we're making is connection. And when it goes beyond a tool to a block for connection and a block for humans interacting with one another, that's a really big, serious issue that affects entertainment, but it also affects all of us. We're all being sort of automated out of connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like that. And it's important to talk about as Star Wars fans, because I think technological advancements are often part of Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they make it. And the tech stuff isn't going away. It's always going to be changing. But what you're talking about, you know, you got to really look at what they're doing with it, right? The robots come in to build the cars, and a lot of humans did lose their jobs in an industry change. But so what's actually happening, right? Is it just for the sake of it's now easier and better and we have to move forward? Or is someone coming in and going, oh, it's easier and better and I can secure my power and profit off of it? That's the way I see it. I am someone who has both lost a job to quote unquote lost a job to AI recently, and also has used it from time to time for, I can organize a resume in 10 seconds as opposed to 10 minutes. Let me see this. Right. There's a lot of big issues with it where AI gets its information and gets its art and gets its pieces. But I also just want to disclose, I'm living in this world with it too, but, you know, I think of Phil Tippett going, I got some dinosaurs. Oh, we're going with computers now. It's always going to be changing, and you have to look closely at who's it's affecting and how it's affecting people. But to your point, Joseph, that's the big thing going on right now. It is a deconnection from humanity that I think I'm frustrated with. I don't want to fear new tech, but I'm fearing those who are salivating over how they're going to use it.
Right.
And how they're saying it. And you can write a novel in 10 seconds. Like, that doesn't seem good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it might look okay, but the truth is, in my opinion, it will be soulless garbage because it will have no human spark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is such an important distinction. And I think this is a point where Star Wars and the lessons of Star Wars, both the story and the actual history of the humans who made it, are so instructive. I love technology and I have no problem with it when it's discussed, regulated, made a tool. Star Wars in 1977 was a massive hit, partially because George Lucas, John Dykstra, everybody involved used newfangled technology to visually tell a story in a way that never had been before. And the way that intersects, probably the most dynamic part of that is the entire Death Star run, the trench run. And mm-hmm. what is the ultimate lesson, the moral of the narrative that was created by this groundbreaking technology is Obi-Wan convincing Luke to let go, not just rely on the machine and be flowing and organic. Mm-hmm. That's always going to be the tension of technology of it's a tool, but we can't allow it to be for us to become rigid and mechanical. We need to remain flowing and organic. And that's exactly what the unions are fighting about. They're trying to say, we need to really regulate this and agree on how exactly we use it so we don't cross that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have some more thoughts on that. But Jen, I want to make sure you get in here too.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think that the thing is that this has to start right now because the technology is moving so fast and people, like you said, are already using it and people are already getting laid off. So we need to address it now. Because if we try and address it 5 years from now, it'll be too late. Mm-hmm. And so it's really painful. And, you know, obviously we came off of the pandemic and things still have not recovered. But that is why the time is now. And I'm so glad that you made that point, Joseph, that this is a labor dispute. I mean, I go to my local grocery store and all of a sudden they have only one cashier now, one human cashier, because they put in a bunch of self-checkouts, which is convenient if you have a couple items, but not when I have a cart full of things. Every place I'm going, it is now automated. And in that human connection, which we've already been so deprived from the human connection because of the pandemic, I'm going out. I'm like, this is my time to socialize. And there's nobody there. It's weird. It is really weird. And it is concerning. And we have seen this happen throughout history. And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. And I think at this point in nine seasons into Force Center, we've cultivated an audience that I don't want to say just agrees with us, but understands us and understands our perspectives. And maybe there's things here and there, or maybe you don't love, episode 9 as much as we do, but you all kind of are here on the journey with us. But so I don't want to over explain things or share personal stories, but this is all very Star Wars. I was, as everyone knows, I started in radio in the 90s. I worked for a radio station, non-union gig, but most of them are non-union in radio until you get to a higher level. I was there when deregulation hit, when all the, and I do believe it was the Clinton administration, but it had been long running, to be clear and fair, but deregulation hit the radio industry. And I was learning on reel to reel. I used to have to cut commercials by slicing the reel and taking the reel back together and putting them onto a cart like I was in a Trans Am from the 70s. I was in that last gasp of old radio. One of my final months, we got a box, a big computer box came in, and we could digitally download commercials. We didn't have to make them. We didn't have to cut reels. They sounded better. At the press of a button, you had a commercial. And that made life easier. And then deregulation allowed what it basically, and I'm summarizing years of stuff here, but you know, one company couldn't come to a town and own 7 radio stations. So I worked at a family-owned radio station. Then these corporations were allowed to come in. The technology, look how easy it is. And now, you know what? We don't even need the humans for this. The industry was decimated. Now, technology changed and how you listen to radio. Do you listen to it in your car? Do kids listen to it as much as we did growing up? No, not really. So it went from a job that I could have conceivably had a living in to now I am on the radio in Pennsylvania. I record it here from Burbank. I do a 4-hour shift every week for about 45 minutes. I get $0 for it. There's no money in the industry because of people came in. It's a new technology. This is amazing. How can we use it to our advantage to make our business more profitable at the cost of the people making the content, the art, the radio for us? And I was there at the end of it. I left. I got laid off in 98 because they had no need for us anymore. Yeah. And that's what caused me to move to LA. So I see that's where I'm at on the fight now. With this AI issue and how it could go a lot of different places. And I have had no problems with some of the big Star Wars ones lately or the Indiana Jones ones, because I think there's still humanity in them. But what a slippery slope. And you got folks in high offices ready to push things down that slope. And I think that's part of the big fight right now.
I really agree. Got no problem with technology. It's a wonderful tool, but it needs to be discussed and regulated so it can't just be used to abuse workers.
Indeed. And this is kind of a free-form conversation, so thanks for listening and hanging out with us. And it's good for me. I had a lot of thoughts this weekend. And some of the areas are confusing. And we're going to talk a little bit about I don't know where we think it's going. And we want to discuss here. We're not done discussing this. We can come back and break in a bit, discuss some of the comments made this weekend. But Joseph, kind of want to discuss what is the Force Center view going forward. There's a lot of discussion out there in the internet sphere about what do shows like us do? What's the best foot forward? And we want to get in that discussion here now.
Yep. And I think going to Star Wars and Yoda's just wonderful quote, always in motion is the future. That's where we're starting. We discussed, we researched the best of our ability, and the three of us know some things and just plain don't know some other things. So what we looked at in particular is SAG-AFTRA has some guidelines for influencers. And that is the best category, I think, that we fall under doing a podcast where we are not being paid by Lucasfilm, but we are certainly helping, you know, people get eyes and ears and enjoy it. And SAG-AFTRA, if you just want to Google SAG-AFTRA guidelines for influencers, you can take a look at these FAQs and see what we're looking at. And some of them are crystal clear and some of them have some amount of ambiguity to them. So what we want to do is work hard to figure out how can we best represent our beliefs in what we want to be. How can we possibly keep talking about Star Wars and celebrate the story and the ideas without supporting a struck company in Disney? So I think there are two key things to that here. On a real practical level, a lot of us trying to figure out what we can and can't do, what we should and shouldn't do. Jennifer is an actual member of SAG, and Ken and I, as people who would be happy to be members or supporters in the future, a lot of guidance hinges on accurately identifying what is struck work. So what is a work that we don't want to basically promote by talking about it because it is being produced by a struck company. Some of the guidance talks about, yep, don't promote new struck work. Some of the guidance sometimes talks about or work that would have been struck when it was made. So if you go by that, you're talking about like, we shouldn't talk about Casablanca because that'd be struck work now. So there's the effort to get clarity that we're all in this moment of trying to define struck work and what feels appropriate to talk about. So that stuff is going through FAQs, reaching out for more guidance, having patience as more guidance comes out as the strike goes on. But everything that I was just speaking about, I think, is letter of the law, going through FAQs, waiting for responses to get clear instruction on what we should and shouldn't do. But then there's the spirit of the thing. So we're definitely looking at the letter of the rules for guidance. But I think what Force Center is going to do to the best of our ability is look at the spirit of it. Is, does this feel right? Does this feel like what we're really doing is talking about old ideas of Star Wars, and it doesn't feel like promoting Star Wars in Disney in a way that would be undermining the workers picketing? And I think under that umbrella, for the spirit of the thing and probably the letter of the thing, The one thing that we know for sure is that we're not going to cover new content until the strike is over. So we are not on Force Center going to discuss Ahsoka, the show, until the strike is over. And that breaks my heart. And for the betterment of absolutely everyone involved, I really hope that the strike ends tomorrow. I hope it ends before August 23rd, and we can get back in the saddle and be thrilled to discuss Ahsoka. But the one concrete thing we know right now is that's we're being asked not to cover new work from struck companies. So that's a little bit of a overview of what we're trying to figure out. In total honesty, like you can hear, there are some things we know and a lot of things that we don't know or in gray areas. And as we take steps forward, figuring out what we're going to do with the podcast, we're just going to be in a space where we are open and listening and trying to find the best way forward. How'd I do, friends?
As always,
good.
Elegant, thoughtful, and well said, and honest. And Jen, I definitely want to bring you in here because, as you said before, we keep saying, but you are a little more even directly involved than us. And Joseph and I would say, are pretty directly involved too. But and especially even in my house here, it affects us with a SAG member of my own house. But yeah, Joseph, you're very right. I think the right thing and the sure thing to do is to not cover Ahsoka. For the sake of being honest, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still watching things. I still want those numbers to be up. I want Ahsoka's view counts to smash through the roof so that people understand how valuable it is. But it just seems that to the spirit of the law, for the benefit of us personally and the three of us, we are a symbiotic relationship here, like Boss Nass should have learned. What I say and do on this show affects Jennifer, affects Joseph, and all the way around. So we want to do what's right. It just seems right to what Joseph's saying. It is confusing. The journalist versus influencer versus consumer press, which is this term emerging that we might be in, it's a weird world. You're seeing it a lot, and who gets invited to events. You're seeing a lot of people fighting over who gets invited to events and who doesn't and who does what and what can you do. There is not a lot of clarity. One thing I would say for anyone listening, to your favorite shows, not just Force Center, to your other shows out there, your Star Wars Explains and, you know, Octo Radios and your Galactic Pocket, whatever you listen to out there, if they make a decision that they feel is right for them, understand that there's different, you know, some people pay their bills entirely off this stuff. Some people like us pay some of our bills off this stuff. Some people just have it. But they're making decisions they feel is right for them. And unless there's an overt desire to not support the strike, then, you know, even then, measure that as it comes to you. Not shockingly, Twitter's been a little rough, or social media in general has been a little rough to people as they navigate these waters. Have contracts to go cover events, are invited to events, aren't members, aren't sure what that means. I'm confident in our decision, even though the decision has some vague grayness that we're trying to navigate. We have patience. Like Joseph said, heartbroken. That trailer last week has still got me buzzing. I was
flying before I got on the plane. That's what we were talking about. We were going to talk for like an hour, and I can't even remember how long we talked. I'm so excited for that show, and I so want it to be a triumph for everyone involved for lots of reasons. I hope it still can be.
Yeah. And I'm confident there will be a conclusion to the dual strike here. It might be a while. Might be a while. So anyways, that's all my thing too. To echo what Joseph said, that's the one thing we know we're not doing. We're going to figure out what we can do, what we want to do, what would still, you know, we're still going to have Force Center content. We ain't going away, but to do what's right. Again, and there's a lot to lose. Jen, you lead that charge in terms of you have to be careful.
Yes. I mean, and it's very confusing because I am still auditioning for commercials because the commercial contract, we are not on strike. I just can't audition for TV and film, which I was like, okay, it seems pretty clear. I'm not a writer. I'm not in WGA. So I can't write any projects, right? Mm-hmm. That's clear to me. And with SAG, I'm like, well, I'm not in the Barbie movie. So yeah, I'm not going to go around touting that I'm in the Barbie movie. But the whole influencer thing really was where I was like, oh, shoot. That's when I emailed the guys and I was like, I think I can't release my Jedi beat because I am promoting a struck company. And so it's all just a little murky and we're all trying to figure this out. And they're saying, you know, influencers should refrain from posting on social media about any struck companies, whether they are paid or if it's just organic. Hey, I saw the Barbie movie. I loved it. That falls under kind of influencer territory, which is, it's really hard because I hope that they get this result before Ahsoka because this is such a big, big event and we want to be able to talk about it. But I also want to do what's right and support the writers, support my fellow actors. And so we'll just have to wait and see and also be open to, you know, if we wade into these waters and we do something and somebody calls us out, be like, okay, yeah, we can pivot, we can change course. Because I see other people who are like doubling down, tripling down, and it's like, yeah, people are calling you out. Maybe you should listen to that, right?
Yeah.
So the ability we're all figuring this out.
Yeah, we want to hit Force Center, remain, keep our skills, our listening skills intact. What we do, in motion if we need be. And so Joseph, you had said something earlier of like, hey, it's more things, more things emerge, as more clarification emerges, or we just kind of get direction from the world in a way. We'll find our way through it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really good for Jennifer to highlight some of the specific text because, you know, we're going through and trying to figure out, like, how do we, okay, not covering newly made Struck work like Ahsoka is pretty easy to figure out. But just by talking about older episodes of The Mandalorian that's only available on Disney Plus, how does that fit in? That you can't Google exactly that. But on this influencer guide that Jennifer was quoting, the specific question in the FAQ is, for a SAG-AFTRA member, am I allowed to promote Struck work on social media as a fan and not in a paid capacity? And this is what Jennifer was just quoting. The answer is, influencers should refrain from posting on social media about any Struck work, regardless of whether they're posting organically or in a paid capacity. And for me, I think that's the thing that hits closest to home for what we're doing, for finding the best definition of it. So that's part of what we're going on. And also just to make it crystal clear, the other part of this FAQ says, how does this apply to me if I'm a non-union influencer? Ken is a union eligible influencer. I'm a non-union influencer. And it says, any non-member seeking future membership in SAG-AFTRA who performs covered work or services for a struck company during the strike will not be admitted into membership in SAG-AFTRA. So just for utter clarity, this Q&A or FAQ is speaking directly to Jennifer because she's a member. Mm-hmm. But the spirit of what the unions are asking for and support too is, if you're not yet a member and you'd like to be, please follow these rules like you're a member.
Hmm. Yeah, and for someone like me that works, it's, I've been sitting on that eligible for a while. I'm not acting. It's not my primary thing. I had fun on a film recently. I can't wait you all to see it. It wet my whistle, I'll say. But yeah, I only have a certain, a finite amount of non-union projects I could work before I kind of, it's sometimes confusing. If I was to work on a union project, eventually I have to join, right. Get to that status of have to join. And so if I hit that wall and they pull out a file, what's Force Center and why did you talk about this? It could affect me, my livelihood, my ability to support myself and those around me. So that's why also an abundance of caution is needed. Joseph has long been an amazing storyteller, writer, and filmmaker, but he's really focusing on it. And I can tell you firsthand, he's a great director. More is going to work to come. And as he works with SAG and tries to do right, that's one thing I'll say about you, Joseph, approach the short film process, you've really tried to do right by those who work for you and the they're involved in. And that could be costly. That could be confusing. That could be tough. We don't want this lifelong passion of Star Wars, this 10-year-long passion of Force Center to undercut us when we can just be a little more careful. I think we made it clear. I think we're just want to be extra clear and ask for support of our listeners out there. More than anything, the whole strike is just a problem and it's something we want resolved. But also as a fan, what a bummer. But it is. And guess what? A little bummer about a Star Wars show that we want to watch is pales in comparison to the larger fight.
Well said, Ken. Well said.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're not done talking about this, but we do want to have our Force Center recommends, which I think is okay for us to do. But Joseph, we do have a recommendation that can help support the show in the process.
Yes. Again, see everything we just said about gray areas and figuring out our way forward. But for now, we're going to recommend Star Wars Inquisitor Rise of the Red Blade by Delilah S. Dawson. Sounds like Ken got to start reading it. I have it here in my home. It's in my living room. So when I left, I turned it upside down so Sarah didn't need to look at the scary cover all weekend while I was gone. But I can't wait to crack it open.
Yeah, crack it open. I got to admit something. I hid the cover on the train because I didn't want anyone to ask me about it.
He just didn't want to talk about it.
Didn't want to have any conversations about it. And download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. That's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for a free audiobook. Yeah, like I said, 50 pages in. And it's been one of my favorite Star Wars reads in a while. So we'll keep talking about that if we can. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, yeah, we're going to talk about Bob Iger. Stick around here for more Force Center.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? and some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Force Center. We are talking about Star Wars news, and for right now, Star Wars news is all based in a very harsh reality. We're going to talk about this set up top. We're going to talk about Bob Iger. As SAG went on strike and joined the WGA on the lines, Disney CEO Bob Iger made some comments in an interview that were heard and felt by many. So I'm going to be clear. I'm pulling out the quote as reported by the Hollywood Reporter in an article. We suggest you watch the full clip, full context. But here's what he said, at least part of what he said. Again, it's a large interview, but pulling some. Bob Iger said, "This is the worst time in the world to add to that disruption." Iger said, adding that he respects, quote, their right and their desire to be compensated fairly, but also that the unions have, quote, have to be realistic about the business environment and what this business can deliver, and that the strikes will cause, quote, huge collateral damage. We managed as an industry to negotiate a very good deal with the Directors Guild that reflects the value that the directors contribute to this great business. We want to do the same thing with the writers, and we'd like to do the same thing with the actors. There is a level of expectation that they have that is not just realistic, and they are adding to a set of challenges that this business is already facing, and that is quite frankly very disruptive. So we'll go into that. I want to be honest and definitely speaking for myself. We've spoken positively about Bob Iger in the past, and we're here to not deny that. We're here to say, yeah, that's true. There have been positive things to discuss about him, I would say.
But we want to talk about our reaction to this and how this maybe changes our fandom relationship with him, Disney, or the art we enjoy. Just, again, have an honest conversation about this. So, Joseph, I will start with you. Clarity, bring it to this tree.
I love that you brought up not just discussing his comments, but that we have had positive reactions to him. And there's mm-hmm. a lot to talk about not putting people on pedestals, admiring mm-hmm. their work, but letting them be multifaceted. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to talk about that, about the way we interact with people that we admire or create things that we love, and how can we look at them with nuance and complexity instead of expecting everything to be great or bad, period, with no middle ground sometimes, or no diversity in that. So I want to get into that, but the thing I really want to start with is just disagreeing with what he is saying. Mm-hmm. He is speaking as a producer. He is speaking as a team captain of his side. He is speaking with spin to mm-hmm. try to go, it's not us. We're the producers are just struggling to keep this frail business alive. And these actors and writers just aren't realistic. And my strong opinion is this is an emperor has no clothes situation. But the story is, it is the emperor got paid $27 million this year and we all bleep and saw it. Mm-hmm. That's the heart of what this is for me. What he is saying sounds very reasonable. And a lot of the negotiations will come down to it of, yes, at the end of the day, these increases should happen on residuals, but now let's fuss back and forth about the exact number. That stuff is negotiation. To me, that stuff is reasonable. But the let's just all pretend that there isn't millions and millions and billions of dollars to be more fairly distributed is ridiculous. It is the emperor has new clothes. It's expecting us to watch the uppermost class, the most powerful class, the class with the most money, and just pretend that they don't have a crushing amount of money. The emperor got paid $27 million and we all saw it, but we're not supposed to, I picture a little kid watching this interview, a little four-year-old going, and then the brave four-year-old said, didn't he make $27 million?
Yeah.
Great opening statement there. I want to get into it there, Jen, but I want to bring you in on the statement that here's what I'll say before I pitch it to you, Jen. Joseph, you touched upon it. Yeah. You will find that the very truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view. there's things in this statement that I'm like, no. The industry has changed. The industry's going through drastic changes. The days of 24 episodes of sitcoms that go into syndication don't exist. You might have to ask why that doesn't exist. So that this is all going forward and this is all disruptive. Yeah. I can say that's true. As you are at your billionaire weekend camp mm-hmm. flying up there. It rings hollow to me. So Jen, I'll let you take over there before I get on a bullhorn.
Yeah, I actually stayed up late watching all of the clips that they had from this CNBC interview. It's a business interview, so the majority of the talk is about the business. And he talks about some of the failures of Pixar, some what they're going to do with maybe like ABC, the network ABC, what they might do with FX, right? How they're not sure if it fits with the Disney brand anymore. It's costing them a lot of money. There's been a lot of turnover. He's constantly talking about cutting costs in that interview, how they're going to try and be more strategic. He also mentions, which got a lot of press, scaling back on Marvel, scaling back on Star Wars for the cost reasons, and also to prevent the kind of oversaturation that he feels has kind of maybe quote unquote watered down the brand, right? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of, I'm like, oh yeah, he seems very honest. He's a very charming CEO. Mm-hmm. But like you guys said, I'm like, wait a minute, this guy is making millions and millions of dollars. And yes, I know that streaming has upended our industry because they used to make a lot of money with DVD sales and home rentals, right? So they're losing money but they're still finding the money to pay for these executives. And I actually saw somebody in the Hollywood Reporter talk about how one way that we can make this work and bridge the gap is to have all the top executives and the highest paid actors to kind of take pay cuts to narrow the gap between their salaries and their lower.
Barry Diller said it. Yeah.
Saw that. Barry Diller. That's right. Barry Diller said that. And that makes a lot of sense to me because I think in the 80s, the executives only made like 30 times as much the highest paid actor. And now it's like 400 times. It's
the rate is 30 times their lowest paid employee.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now it's 400 times.
400 times.
And that lowest paid employee ain't exactly going to smokehouse every weekend.
Exactly. So like you guys said, the emperor has no clothes and they just want for us to forget. And I was like, yeah, he's right. They have been losing money. And I'm like, wow, wait a minute.
Well, there's a truth.
Sucked in.
Yeah, no, there's truth. Look, there's a reason this guy, there's a reason Bob Chapek was fired at an Elton John concert and this guy's brought back, right? I totally get it. And I'll say it. I read Iger's book and I said it before. I'll say it again. There's a lot of things in there I liked. All right. Mm-hmm. But it's gone beyond that. Joseph, you keep saying it. I don't need him to make 1 cent less than he, I don't care. I can't fathom what he's making anyways. Right. Right. I didn't go borrow money this weekend to live. I'm not there. Go do what you, I don't know what your daily life is. I don't know if you have time to get coffee or you're just working 24 hours a day. I don't know. I don't care. It's just, it's all part of this myth that I've been kind of obsessed with lately. Cause I've had to live under that of the good old free market will lead you to glory. And I wish that was true. Like you said earlier, Joseph, I wish it was true. It's not true and has never been true. And this is
not. Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not physically possible for Bob Iger to work 400 times harder than a janitor at Disneyland.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not, a lot of people are justifiably dragging him for his yacht. I don't want him to give up to sink his yacht. And I don't want the fight to be about me just being angry that I don't have a yacht. I don't want that either, but it's every word rings hollow when you actually do this. And I'll pitch it back to you, Joseph or Jen. I think this is the Star Wars lesson, and I hope this doesn't come off as me trying with one last shred of decency to defend a CEO I've been positive about in the past. But I think this is also a prime example. There was a recent show about Boba Fett about this. A leader can start in a good spot. A leader can work their way up. A leader can have good intentions, but be so high up on the platform, whether they have an attitude about it or not, but they so high up that their feet are not on the ground. And the lessons of a former bounty hunter turned daimyo in a town, in a space town, going, no, I need to walk around. And then then having to hear, what jobs, almighty daimyo, what jobs do you think we can get? We can't survive. And whether you mean to or not, power can separate. Mm-hmm. Power can separate. I don't know how he wakes up in the morning, Mr. Iger. I don't know what's in his heart. I like his smile, but I don't know what's there. But this is an example to me of someone who's like, yeah, it's disruptive. A friend of mine, made $400 last year as an actor. And by the way, these artists, and whether, you think the artists are valuable or not, they're also working six other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of jobs that they love, by the way. I've watched my partner struggle and work 12 to 13 hours a day on a job she loves while also pursuing a craft she loves. I've lived that. Joseph, you've lived that. Jen, people listening. And it's no different than someone who has to take an extra shift at Walmart to supplement their job at the office, because we're all struggling through this and it's only getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so his comment, that's the big danger to these comments for me. There's a lot of business stuff. There's a lot of realities. Yes, it's changed. Again, I want to ask why some of it's changed. I'm a fan of streaming, but then the cut off properties for tax reasons, physical memory disappears. Digital's not being paid. You need to ask the why. We always say Star Wars wants you to ask why. Life wants you to ask why. But at the end of the day, for me, it rings hollow because it is so disconnected from those on the ground. And that's where it hurt.
Mm-hmm. Great job bringing it back to Boba Fett. I agree with you. But that's
I don't want to put the book of Boba Fett. But I think it had a great theme.
But yeah, but it is. It's about the Lortha Peele, the watermonger, mm-hmm. thinks that power is there to make sure that he makes the most money, and he's shocked when Boba Fett walks in and says, "Well, letter of the law, spirit of the law is you're." These people deserve water, and they're working hard, and they're trying to pay you for it, and you're squeezing them. So, you know, no. Yeah. And Lortha Peele can't believe it, because that's not the system he's used to. So I think you're right. Let's all learn the lesson of Lortha Peele water.
Lortha Peele.
Yeah. I want to throw this in here quickly, because you touched on it, Ken. Mm-hmm. When he's saying, like, we've been in such a disruptive time, mm-hmm. yes, there are some things about that are sort of can't be controlled. COVID couldn't be controlled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then it also feels disingenuous of, I like streaming. I like that I can watch any Star Wars and any Marvel at the touch of a button, and I'm more than happy to pay for that service, and I like that service exists. But the disruption to the market and the way it works and the kind of films that can be profitable, that didn't happen. That didn't fall out of the sky or burst from the earth. People like Bob Iger created that disruption out of a mm-hmm. hungry, hungry hippo attitude. And mm-hmm. they need to take responsibility for re-steering the ship on that disruption, which I think Iger sometimes does to his agreement with saying, like, yep, we overdid it on Marvel and it had a negative impact and we're going to try to course correct and re-steer the ship. And I think that's why I sometimes enjoy listening to him talk, because he's willing to say those kind of things. He makes them very political and very safe. I mean that political in terms of, you know, just the general term of political.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But the way he's talking about these disruptions, like they weren't at least partially caused by the producers mm-hmm. seeing the shiny of streaming and grabbing at it without thinking about the consequences.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to analyze it, even though I had a discussion this weekend with an old friend. Like he posted a thing of, like, you know, you got Iger, but essentially Disney might be selling off ESPN, ABC, and my friend right. Eric was, see, go woke, go broke. And I was like, F you, man. What? That ain't the case. When's the last time you turned on ESPN? When's the last time you turned on ABC? People don't do that anymore. Just like I haven't bought a CD in 15 years. The industry's changed. That's a reality. So that ain't the truth. But the other side, like to your point, Joseph, ain't the truth either. Of what? This is very disruptive. Now you're going to stop working? That's going to hurt us. You know, because it's $27 million before bonuses. So yeah, it's the business of it can get convoluted or layered or nuanced. But this statement, I thought was, disappointment doesn't even cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. I'll be really extra honest about it. As someone who has said, I don't know, I like his book. I like his sweaters. What I saw and heard and saw the words come out of his mouth, I was stunned. Someone who has been generally good at putting the best face forward said something just so clueless and hurtful. And I think it goes back to the power thing. But
Go for it, Jennifer.
No, I think, like you guys have been saying, putting people on pedestals is something that I've had to learn, because I really admire so many of these people. And not to say that, like, you know, well, yeah, they have let me down. He did let me down. I was disappointed. But, you know, at the end of the day, these are corporations. They are businesses. They care about their business. And as much as they try and make people feel, a lot of times their employees, like their family, right? We're a family. We're going to work you, overwork you, and underpay you. It's just kind of like, it's manipulative. And they'll replace you in a second. And so we have to approach these things critically. And I will no longer, I don't know. I don't want to say that we're not going to promote IgerCon, because that was always a fun thing, right?
Yeah.
But I just look at them.
I want to own it too. Sorry, Jen, I cut you off. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's it.
I want to own it too, because, you know, we have been positive. And there's no way I'm going to let anyone out there say we're denying that.
No.
But that's part of what I wanted to honestly discuss today.
Yeah.
I just wanted Bob.
I liked him.
What are you saying, Bob?
We promoted IgerCon because as a joke, because that's where he was making the announcements instead of at Comic Cons and events at El Capitan, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it does elevate him, you know, by making it IgerCon, but it was about the announcement. I think people contain multitudes. I think it's something that we all know, that many of us know from relationships where you have a friend or like 87%, we are so simpatico. There's 13% we can't talk about. Like, there's nuance and complexity in our relationships. I think Bob Iger is a fascinating, interesting personality. He's had a fascinating life. I love his book. I bought it for my father-in-law. I might read it again someday. I think he's made some good decisions, both creatively and in my opinion, when you look at art as having great value that might be financial, but is also valuable to the soul and to helping society move forward. He pushed people out in Marvel who were making bad decisions and pushed and supported artists to create more diversity. You know, he made the decision to say, we should lean into Black Panther. We should lean into Captain Marvel. Those are good decisions. And in my opinion, and I always think that he's the person who gave the green light to Twin Peaks and then destroyed it and then wrote in his book, maybe I should have listened to David Lynch. There's complexity. I don't need him to be a good guy or a bad guy. To me, what he is an extremely powerful person who I have sometimes really enjoyed and been fascinated by, because I think he's shown a deftness at saying, I am a business person and I'm good at the brutal cutthroat reality of business. And I know that my bottom line is the stockholders and the board. And I know how to make them happy while also realizing that what I'm selling, what Disney is selling, is magic and storytelling and how art can truly affect your life. And I think he's somebody who's been able to hold the contrasting reality of the brutalness of business and the magic of art. And I will always be interested in his ability to balance this. And in this particular instance, to me, he just came out playing his role with his producer hat and just spun it and did his talking points. And that's not a moment I can admire or agree with.
With purple mountains majesty behind him, with ain't a good look, Bob. Ain't a good look.
Not great, Bob.
Look, he is someone who has a good reputation with some creators, maybe not all. There is some stories. I take for his worth. He's one that said we must hire Lord Miller, and that didn't work out. He's done a lot of things, and that's the way it's going to be. But this is also the world we live in. Like, I have a friend, he is still upset that I take gigs at comedy clubs, and I'm like, man, I wish I couldn't, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff goes on at comedy clubs it's a complicated issue, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, I can't do your show in the back of a store once a year and have a career. I can't. I have to deal with the gray area over here, or else I just don't pursue this. And we're on the opposite sides of that often and discuss it sometimes. You can't tell this art that's going to be felt by the masses without some of these companies. Otherwise, you know, you'll be lost in the wilderness. It's just unfortunately where we're at. So people like him are reality. The power is reality, but we should fight that power when it's continuing to stamp the feet of the workers, not just the artists, the Starbucks employees, the UPS drivers, all those kind of situations. You all know. I think now preaching to the choir, we're all some people singing. All right. I think we discussed lessons to learn from this. We talked about our involvement as professional entertainers, and I don't use that term as any kind of in a smug sense, but this is our reality. We pay our bills for this stuff. We have to step carefully and cautiously for all three of us together and us as individuals. So this is It was wild times, wild, weird times, Jen, right?
Yes. yes. Wild times. I've been through so many, a few strikes since becoming an actor. And each time it really does take a long time to recover. Yep. So, yeah, it's frustrating.
Yep. 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 But we'll get there. All right. Any final thoughts on this? We want to swing through maybe a positive story to end on. But Joseph, I'll let you pick up any pieces that we might have left.
No, I think I just want to underline what you were saying at the end, Ken, because I think it comes up often when talking about something like Star Wars that we find so much beauty in that helps people in so many ways in their lives, from just giving them a break and entertaining them to getting them through incredibly difficult times. But the reality that it is a massive corporation who is making it. And that is, you just have, in my opinion, you just have to accept that reality. It's show business. Mm-hmm. And there's the show and the business always. And if you do want to just have art as pure as possible, no one can stop you from drawing and or singing a song and showing it to people. But if that art is going to reach and affect a large volume of people, business is always going to be attached to it. And I think that's really the what we're dancing with here and mm-hmm. what this Iger statement is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, yep, and it's been there
my
for
final
a while.
Thought.
Yeah. I remember during some of the Major League Baseball strikes, but particularly 1994, when I was on the side of the players, and even though they were making a lot of money, but I had a lot of friends, old timers. Oh, back in the day, they played it for the love of the game. I'm like, baseball began in the 1860s. Labor problems in baseball began in the 1860s. Some of the first strikes. Right. And this is the nature of it. It is a business while also being entertainment. And it's about power. Everything kind of boils down, I don't know, to power and what you do with it. All right. We're going to swing through this, and we're swing through this carefully, as we've said before. Last week, the shows Andor, Mandalorian, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Light and Magic received 23 nominations for the 75th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards. We did want to talk about it with threading that needle, but the thing to highlight, and I'll start with you, Joseph, though, is that this kind of drives home kind of what we're talking about. 23 Emmy nominations is probably something you'll say to your stockholders is, A, ain't that good? And ain't that a thing to celebrate? And ain't that a thing to get us more money? And ain't that a thing to keep going with this? But it was, some of it is outstanding drama series, outstanding limited anthology series, and many other post-production, technical, VFX, editing kind of awards. The entire gamut of people, writers, directors, actors, below the line, above the line, doesn't matter. All the people working the show receive some kind of nominations. And that's kind of what this is all about. So just we wanted to highlight it. We're happy as fans. Also think it just kind of flows into what we're talking about.
Yeah, because to be perfectly honest, Ken had written up some of our kind of fun standard questions about, you know, what are our favorite, nominations that we want to talk about or anything like that. And then we had to look at like, well, these kinds of awards are often a feather in the cap of the company, and is discussing this, you know, really celebrating and promoting a struck company. But then when we were talking about it, it's like, but this is the heart of it, because these are awards or nominations for potential awards that are celebrating the labor, the creative work, the soul of artists from, writing, directing, costumes, editing, stunt, all down along the line. So we wanted to take a moment to just celebrate the work done by all of the people who are asking to be treated fairly.
Yeah, absolutely, Jen.
It's like we're playing a game. And can I say this word? Can I not say this word?
Replace the word Emmy with oranges. Kenobi with wizard.
Right. I mean, I thought of like George Lucas and how he was nominated for best director. I don't know if I might be waiting to Dirk Waters here. Nominated for best director in 1978, and he did not win. Mm-hmm. But like his movie won for a lot of other things. And I think about that, and I think about the picture of him with his wife, Marsha, who she's probably holding her Academy Award for editing, and he kind of has a funny look on his face, and maybe I was reading into it. But anyways, I feel like Star Wars has not gotten a lot of mainstream attention at awards, except for like the technical achievements. Mm-hmm. So to see them recognized in this big way, I was like, yay. And I was looking forward to seeing, the whole cast together of Andor, or seeing Ewan McGregor presenting with, Vivian Lyra Blair on stage. Moments like that would have been, it would have felt like justice for George and justice kind of for us as fans, because sometimes I'll get people who are like, oh, you're into Star Wars, like that thing, that kid thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, this could be an Emmy award-winning show. Yeah. So anyways, I guess that's all I'll say, because I might have already.
Nah, yeah. I'll say I forced you, and they can slings and arrows can come at me. Wonderful there. Yeah, that's our thoughts on that, and we'll see what happens at the Primetime Emmy Awards. Something I haven't watched in about 20 years because the industry has changed. There you go. All right, we are out of here today. We want to thank you all, and I don't want to speak for Joseph or Jennifer, but just thank you all for, as always, giving us a wiggle room to figure things out, to be honest, to be open, to step forward, to analyze our steps we've made in the past, and to do what's best in the moment, and we'll adjust as needed. So, that's my final thought on that. I'll let you all say anything final too. That seems fair.
I think for me, we will more to come. We will remain figuring out what we're doing, and thank you for everyone for your patience.
Jen, final safe thoughts from you.
Yeah, no, thank you all for your patience. I agree. And stay tuned as things unfold and I hear back from my SAG rep.
There you go. We're checking out for this week. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Threads at Force Center Pod as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram and YouTube over there, where Jen's Jedi Beat will eventually be. Podcast available on a lot of spots. Just search or find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. If you want to support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter, we'd appreciate that. You can follow me at catnapsock across all social media platforms, including Blue Sky Hive and Threads, if you want. Updates, I got a show in Burbank Wednesday night at Flappers, speaking of comedy clubs, and American Comedy Club down in San Diego. If you're down there for Comic-Con, make sure you, number one, don't cosplay. And two, you can come see a comedy show. Mark Ellison, Friends, July 20th, 8 p.m. Tickets information is on my website. Jen, where can I follow you?
You can find me on all the social media platforms at Jennifer Landa. I think I'm going to do the Nubs toy review because it's a toy. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. I'm going to maybe do some sketches that are not Star Wars related. And lastly, if you'd like to help during the strike, the WGA and SAG are not calling for a boycott. We can still watch the things. We just can't publicly promote it. But you can also donate to the Entertainment Community Fund, which will go right to work in supporting programs that will help performing arts and entertainment workers over the course of their life. So that could be a great way to show your support.
It's a great way to show the support. And I'll say this. The actor, what used to be called the Actors Fund, is a great thing from SAG. And even sometimes I can get personally critical of some stuff. It has been a great help, and that is a great way to support. So I'll just say that there. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, I agree with that recommendation of support, which you can also find on various websites, Googling for it. For myself, you can find me on all the social medias at Joseph Scrimshaw. Ken, I liked your list of Twitter alternatives. That sounded like some oldie time disease from the 1800s when you string them all together. I got Blue Sky Hive and Thread. Oh, that's like foot and mouth, right? When you have Blue Sky Hive and Thread. But I have Blue Sky Hive and Thread. So, come find me there at Joseph Scrimshaw. I believe I can promote this. It includes a SAG actor, but I'm an independent producer, so I don't think it would. If he was trying to shoot it now, it would be struck work. I'm really trying.
Right.
Short film I made with Phil Lamar a little while back is premiering at a festival in Portland in August. It is the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. So if you're in the Portland area and want to check it out, the schedule, the website is pdxfestofcinema.com.
There you go. All right, my friends, that is it. That is it this week. So for all of you out there fighting for what's right, we're with you, and we'll talk to you later here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.